Today on our program, we're going to take time and visit with Michaela Keenitz. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Boone County Hospital, and joining her, one of the assistant administrators, Tacy Heiberger. And thanks both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Michaela, last time when we visited, you said we didn't know who it was at the time, but you said you did have a new CEO or CFO coming on, and now we know it's Carl Willems. He's very familiar with our kind of setup, critical access. He knows how that works. He's been at Broadlands, so it kind of fits quite a few things you're looking for.
He does. I felt that we were really lucky to get such a good applicant for our position. He was at Broadlands for around 8 to 9 years, I think, prior to coming here. And previous to that, he was at a critical access hospital. So he's got a lot of experience in community health care as well as critical access health care. And all of his time has been spent in finance. And I think at one point he was even did some Medicare auditing work. So he has a plethora of knowledge that I think is going to fit very nicely here with the departure of Joe Devon, who we know has a lot of experience and has been with the hospital for 10 years. And so he had some really big shoes to fill. And I think Carl's going to do a very nice job of that.
You're pretty much in a pretty stable position, it seems, right now. But we do know there's a lot of things that are having an impact on healthcare in general. So those are some of the challenges. Tacy, I think I know some of the things that we've seen on some of the reports. Clinics have been doing pretty well.
Yes, Jim. The clinics have been extremely busy. We have seen a little bit of decline in the walk-in clinic as far as wait times because, you know, COVID and flu was slowing down. So, you know, rather than seeing 60 to 80 a day, they're down to, you know, 25, 35. So much more manageable. Wait times are better. Family practice clinics are very busy. We have really seen with the loss of Dr. Melhouse, those patients trying to get them into other physicians. We are actively recruiting. I've got a couple of different doctors that I'm speaking to, trying to get that position filled, as well as any upcoming retirements, kind of looking, you know, mm-hmm. down the road at what we're going to need. So, yeah, it's been very busy, and we are also looking at our Madrid and Ogden clinics, adding some either nurse practitioner or PA availability so that, you know, the Ogden clinic is super busy and not always able to get their same-day acute visits in. So we're going to be adding some staff to those clinics, as well as looking at adding some mid-level providers as well to the Boone clinics so that people can actually go to their clinic and be seen instead of having to always go to the walk-in clinic. So I think that'll be very popular with the community.
Pretty popular with a lot of your physicians, I'm thinking, too.
Exactly, exactly. You know, they can work closely with this either nurse practitioner or PA, having them see their patients, and you're seeing the same patients over and over again, even though it's just for their acute-type visit. So I think we're going in the right direction with that.
We knew that when Dr. Melhouse was going to decide to retire, that was a big patient load. He had a big patient load. And that the big thing is trying to get people to select another physician to come in. And the good thing is we've got a lot of pretty good choices there.
We do have a lot of excellent physicians. A lot of their practices are pretty full as well. So it's really important that we get some more physicians into our community. So I'm hitting the recruitment road pretty hard.
Okay. Michaela, do we have interest?
Yeah, I think that we're doing really well. I think Tacy's doing a really good job trying to recruit providers. We're also looking for providers in the emergency department. Dr. Melhouse was in the clinic and then switched to the emergency room, and so his retirement sort of left two gaps for us. And so I think we're really, really working hard. And I think we've talked about this maybe the last time that we talked, Jim, that, you know, continuing this recruitment path and kind of looking at the future of healthcare and is going to be something really important for us. And it's not just with providers, but also with other clinical staff, nurses, respiratory therapists. The recruiting is hard right now, and it's something that, you know, we just have to be tenacious about and keep fighting to find those the appropriate staff.
But we did have, even before the pandemic, we had a lot of people that were getting to that age where they were considering retirement. They may have been pushed by the pandemic. You know, that's just one of those things. And it's in not just, it's in more than just healthcare. It's in a lot of areas.
Yeah, I think that the pandemic did push quite a few people who were considering retirement or sort of on the brink. It sort of did push them to take that step. And nurses in particular, I think there's a lot of baby boomers. We've been sort of bracing ourselves for the nursing shortage for probably the last 10 years or so, knowing that it was coming. And I think the pandemic just sort of exacerbated it and made it worse faster than we might have expected. So there's a lot of work to do to recover from that. And that's, I mean, I think industry-wide across the country, we have a lot of work to do to recover.
One of the areas would be like your in the ambulance service, being able to have EMTs, emergency medical personnel, to be able to go and man the ambulances. And I know that's one of the working arrangements you've got with the fire department as well.
They help do a little staffing for us on that third rig. But I think Mark has reported that his service is fully staffed right as of right now, and so that's been really good for us. And I think there's a couple of other departments in the hospital that we also have fully staffed. So it's not a completely bleak outlook. It's just that we have to stay with it and make sure that we're focused on the future all the time. There's a lot of things that we're doing, like this apprenticeship program with the Boone High School and various things through sure. DMAC, that we need to always keep our eye on the ball for what that looks like and how to develop future employment.
Yeah. Now yep. all we got to do yep. is get those new ambulances, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got them ordered. We ordered them right away, but it's going to be a little bit before those get here. But they do help retain staff, because staff want to, you know, work somewhere where there's, you know, high level of equipment and newer equipment and that kind of a thing. So it's attractive for people that are looking for work, and it helps the staff stay when we have those kind of things, those kind of changes coming on board.
Well, I know on the capital purchase side of things, you are looking at a couple of different things. Things get worn out after you use them for a while. So I see what you're looking at, an MRI replacement.
Yes, we are looking to replace our MRI. It's sunsetting, and so that's a big project, because in order to remove the magnet from the building, we also have to do a construction project to remove the wall. It takes a crane to pull the magnet out, because they're very heavy. So that's a big project, and they're pretty expensive piece of equipment, and so we are looking at that in this next budget. That should be something that we move forward with, so for sure that's going to be occurring. I think there's some other smaller items sure. that we're looking at as well, capital-wise. I think we're replacing our IV pumps and some lab equipment, and so there's quite a bit of work being done right now on making sure that we have, you know, the best equipment and the equipment that we need to make sure we're providing good care.
Well, you've got pretty good staff that keeps you updated on here's what we've got and this is what we're looking at, and within the next 6 months, we may need to do this with some of our equipment. So you do have people that follow along pretty close.
Absolutely. We have an awesome team here, and they are all really well-versed in, you know, what our needs are, and they spend a lot of time evaluating the new equipment, whether, you know, we should go with this brand, or what the service arrangements look like for each piece of equipment that we're looking at, because service is a big thing, too, when you buy those pieces of equipment. Is, you know, there's a guaranteed service, and then there's service that you pay for each time they come out. And so when we're looking at long-term costs of equipment, we have to take all of that into consideration. So the team here does an excellent job of looking at all of that to make sure that we've looked at everything before we move forward.
Sure. Well, one of the things when you first started was you asked the board to hold off on moving ahead on some of the facility things. You wanted to see what was happening. And now with Carl coming on too, because that's going to be the financial side of it, being in what can we afford and how are we going to do this, to an opportunity to take a look at where you're at and how we're going to move forward.
Yeah, I did in January ask the board to put our capital project that we were moving forward with on hold so that I could get a really good idea of where we're at and what our priorities are. And so in March, I had asked Envision, the architect group, and then Graham Construction to come in and go over the master facility plan that was done in 2021 with the hospital leadership staff, and so that I could really understand it and get an idea of how they came to the priorities that they came to. And what I think we're going to do here to move forward is really a lot of the groundwork is done, because they already did that and they did it just 2 years ago. So what we're going to do is a little bit of a refresh, bring in the department directors, work with the senior team, and see if the priorities today are the same that they were then. A lot has changed since then, and I know that the things that were priorities as far as what was in that capital project, you know, the kitchen, the chillers, the parking lot, the roof, the tuck pointing on the building, those things all need to be done. I don't think anyone is disputing that, but is that all that needs to be done? Does that encompass everything we need to do in a phase one? What would phase two look like if we wanted to do something bigger? That kind of a thing. So that's kind of what we're going to be figuring out here in the next 4 months or so is what does it look like? Is the priority list still the same? And what does kind of a timeline look like? And also, like you said, what can we afford? We're working with a couple financial consultants to come and help us identify what we can afford, how we can get the financing to do these big projects. You know, if we don't update our building, we can't move forward with our and meet our mission. So the building is a really important part of what we do. Space is a big issue for us. We've outgrown some of our spaces. We have a lot of different locations. We have two separate clinics in Boone that are separate from this building. And so there's a lot to look at and consider when we're thinking about how can we best serve, you know, our patients and also different systems. Like how do we best serve EMS when they're trying to get to the ER and those kind of things. So there's a lot to look at and think about as we plan for this.
Sure. And Tacy, I'll just ask you a little bit about the clinics, condition of the clinics. We know that we were going to have an open house down in Madrid, but that got weather delayed a little bit. I know that's still coming, but and people will say, well, the clinic in Ogden, that's new, but you have a lot. It's a high traffic clinic. I mean, there's a lot of people in and out of there.
There is. Recently, we had some COVID money, and we were able to get new furniture in the Madrid clinic. I don't know if anyone's ever been in there. It was extremely dated. It had some really bad-looking burnt orange carpet, and the furniture was many, many years old. So with some COVID federal money that we got, we were able to buy wipeable furniture and wipeable end tables, and then replace all of the flooring. So we have nice flooring there, and it's just really looking nice down there, new lamps and chairs. And then we were also able to do the same thing in Ogden to get them wipeable furniture, and that actually just came in today. So it looks super nice. I haven't seen it in person yet, but I'm excited to go take a look at it. The rest of our clinics, you know, they're not in horrible shape, but we're landlocked, and we're using all of our exam rooms and all of our physician offices, and there's times where if we just had something bigger, we could fill it. It's pretty tight in there.
Oh, I think she made a pitch to you, Michaela.
Yeah, I think she did, too. I think there's other things, too, that would be beneficial, like we have two separate registration staffs and things like that because we have two buildings. So there could be a lot of synergies if we could combine those into one building. So I do think that that is something that we'll be looking at. She's made the pitch more than once.
No, I was going to say.
Well, you know, we just got in January brand new radiology equipment, x-ray equipment in the North Clinic. The South Clinic is very old. You know, generally they have like a 12 to 15 year life, and we were about 25 years with the North Clinic one, so we were begging people to find parts. But, you know, when it's $100,000, then you have to buy one for another clinic, and you've got two labs and two sets of lab machines, and, you know, a lot of those things, if they were combined, would save us quite a bit of money. Staffing is an issue as far as getting, like, medical lab techs. They're super hard to get. You know, we've had to recruit some from the Philippines. And in the clinics, because we couldn't get the staff, we actually had to go to them being CLIA-waived, which means they just kind of have little machines where they can do limited amounts of stuff in the clinics, and the rest of the stuff we send over to the hospital. So that was a change about a year ago that we had to make in order to just keep any type of lab in the clinics.
I'll let Michaela do this. Tell me about our IT stuff, because I know that there were some challenges that were going on there. Are we getting some of them resolved? What's happening?
Yeah, we had some challenges. I think when I came to the hospital, I think Joe Smith had been working on some of the IT struggles prior and just sort of ran out of time. And so I ended up taking that on. And I've been working really close with ICE and Anatomy, meeting with them weekly. And they've brought in a lot of various specialists to look at, you know, the hardware and to look at helping us at the ticket desk and looking at servers and latency time and all these different things that, you know, go into the system working appropriately. So they have resolved a lot of the issues. There is not 100% resolved, but a lot of the struggle is better. But But with that, I have talked to them about sort of reimagining what IT might look like going into the future. And so they're sort of looking at their type of a proposal. And then I'm also looking at a proposal from another company that's, you know, a competitor with them. And then also looking at the potential of Mary Greeley Medical Center being supportive of us and our IT in some way. There's a lot of different models to host IT, to host servers for staffing. So we're trying to look at all of those and think about what's going to serve us the best moving forward long term.
Yeah, I do know your physicians were a little disgruntled for a little while anyway. They got so accustomed to being able to do their records and all of a sudden it wasn't working like it was supposed to.
Yeah, I think that they were frustrated. The servers weren't keeping up, the system wasn't keeping up, and so a lot of that work is what we worked really hard to get resolved here in the last 2 months. I think that today we talked to the providers, and they all seem pretty happy with where things stand. There's still a couple of issues with viewing images in certain areas and stuff like that, but they're a lot happier than they were with the IT setup.
Okay. Well, I do know that one of the other things you passed along to the board, Lisa Kobernus, got all her certification stuff done for the with the Iowa Hospital Association Hospital Board certification program.
So there's a series of classes that board members
can
take, and she did all of those. And so she is going to be recognized on Saturday, April 15th at the IHA Governance Forum, and it will be receiving her certification as a certified board member. Hopefully we'll get some more that are interested in doing that, and I think that this is really helpful for the hospital. It shows a lot of commitment that they have to the organization and to their community.
I know we're heading into that kind of that springtime pace, and that's one of the things that we've had pretty good outpatient at the hospital itself.
Yeah, the hospital's been very busy on an outpatient basis. That's been going really good. I think our inpatient census has dropped off a little bit. You know, we're starting to see COVID and some of those kind of winter illnesses starting to dissolve a little bit, and so we're moving into like spring and summer, like you said, where some of the pace can slow down a smidge as far as clinic visits and inpatient goes, but outpatient has remained very busy, which is really good for the organization.
Yeah, and I've never had an opportunity really to ask you about, but some of our surgical processes that we have available, pretty pleased with what you're seeing, with what's happening there?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with our surgery. We do quite a bit of cases. I would like to see us do some more ortho cases here, and I've talked to Dr. Mahoney about that. He's our one of our orthopedic specialists that comes out from Iowa Ortho in Des Moines. And then I think that Dr. Paulson, who does some hands here, is trying to add a day a month for hand, so he'll be here a little bit more than he has been because he's really busy. And as you may know, he is from Ogden, and so he... I think that Boone County Hospital has a special place in his heart, and so he's excited to come here and do some more services.
And then we got our specialty clinics, and they all seem to be keeping pretty busy, which is a good thing. That's providing that service, and that's what we're out here for.
Absolutely. We are excited to provide services to our to those that we serve out in the community, to patients, and like we talked about before, hopefully continuing to offer those services and even maybe adding some new services will help us gain or regain that market share that we talked about is going to be necessary for the future success of the hospital.
Well, so many other things we could visit about. I know you've been out continuing to meet people. You did a chamber presentation a month or so ago. And these are things that I know you wanted to keep doing and let people know you're here and looking forward to being a part of the community.
Yes, thank you. I have been out doing quite a bit of introductions and just kind of trying to make my way through getting to know people. I went to the Ogden Legacy's annual meeting last week, which was super inspiring. They're doing a lot of great things over there. So I'm just really looking forward to continuing to get out in the community and be involved and meet people and help getting our staff more involved in the communities as well.
Well, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us. We appreciate it. Michaela Kienitz, the CEO from the Boone County Hospital, on our program.
Thank you, Jim.